Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nanga Def. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. Yes, you are. Together. Bring us together.
welcome. Blessings, light and love, shalom. Ooh, what a day, what a day, what a day. Beautiful day today of sharing and communication, conversation about life and death and love. And so tonight we're talking about unity. As the song Becca Shea sings, Yahshua, bring us together. Unity is power. That is why we're talking about unity around a subject that's very divisive. So we're bringing it to a soul level tonight because I think that's the only way we're going to have unity around Roe v. Wade is to talk about soul, purpose, understanding, over sin. So tonight I have a special guest, Leslie, who I call the godmother of doula. She's a godmother doula. And if you understand doula, I talk about that on Friday, how we all can be doulas if we have the consciousness and the knowledge. You don't have to have a lot of experience, but you do have to have a consciousness to want to help other women and men.
The alcohol
so other men and women prepare for new life on planet Earth. And so that is why we're talking tonight about bringing unity, peace, and truth to the subject of Roe v. Wade, where so many, the same subject is coming up again. And who do you think is promoting the division? Well, it's not so much the people of the earth, but the elite and the ego minds of the earth are promoting unity. Because many of us have resolved to know that the subject of abortion, miscarriage, is very personal. And it's personal in the sense that every woman has to walk on this earth, experience life, and then experience consequences. And that's what this life is all about. The Creator says in Deuteronomy that I set before you life and death, and then it says choose life. What that means for each of us is so very different, I have found in my journey. So we cannot be judging and pushing and trying to persuade women to do either or the other. We can ask women if they need our support in whatever decisions they're going to make. And that's what a doula's role is. Support a woman in whatever personal decision she makes. So tonight we want to talk about Roe v. Wade, but we also want to talk about soul babies because my guest tonight is the godmother doula, who is what I would call an expert on soul babies. Good evening, Leslie. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
You're looking lovely. I love the glasses. Oh, my goodness. Those are awesome. You know, I'm kind of resigned to just keep my glasses. I have contacts, but I like to wear my glasses. I got a new frame, and they're not as fly as yours, but I just think we can be so creative and colorful and different when we wear our glass frame. So you're looking lovely. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you. I actually wear contacts all the time, but sometimes I overdo with the contacts, so I need to get my eyes at rest.
Yeah.
So that's why I wear glasses fast. I don't like wearing glasses.
Oh, but see there.
So I change my shades.
But when you do wear them. But when you do wear them, you look fly and glorious and gorgeous in them. So it's all good. Well, as I said in the introduction, there's so much division on every topic you can name. Just about pick a topic, we got division. And our government doesn't help. Our churches don't even seem to help these days. I don't know what church is doing, but I just think it's so nice for you to join me and have a conversation that promotes unity, peace, and love, and truth. Because many people have a subjective truth. I call it subjective truth, well, based on your experience, whatever. And then there's an objective truth, which is universal. You can't argue with universal truth, although people like to argue with karma and things like that, but whatever. So we're going to tonight bring some unity, peace, truth, and love to this subject. And some of my listeners may not know about you. So why don't we start with you giving us a little background on how you became the godmother?
Okay. Well,
What?
Let's see. Well, I'm Godmother Dola, and I know people pronounce it Dula or Dola, but the correct way to say it is Dola. It's a Greek word. It means a woman who works with other mothers and women, help them have babies, whether it be.
You're going in and out. Okay, I can.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, come close. Let me see. All right. Go ahead.
Okay, so I help women.
Okay, you're still a little bit low. You're a little low.
I'm a little low.
Your volume. Let's see. Maybe it's me. Let me
come back.
That's better.
Is that better?
Oh, that's really good, yes. Uh-oh, she went away. That was too good. She went away. So we'll wait for Leslie to come back. But this lovely woman is going to come back and share her journey to become... Oh, she's back. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay. Sorry, I'll start over. My name is Godmother Dola. Now, Dola is a Greek word. I know in English we always say doula, but it's a Greek word, and I say Dola. It means a woman who works with other women or mothers and helps them with their children, helps them have baby delivery or whatnot. I am a bereavement and postpartum doula, which means I work with a lot of women who suffer from child loss. And I started that because I suffered from child loss from abortion and miscarriage. And it's a lot of stigma around abortion because most people think, men and women, think that when a woman has abortion, it's because they don't want the baby. And that's what causes the conflict. Women who don't understand what it is to have a child in a circumstance can be very judgmental. Not just women, but people, period. They end up being judgmental, thinking that, oh, you just killed your baby, you didn't want it, and you did something horrific, which in most times, women really do want their babies. But the circumstances surrounding their life makes them, and it causes them to be in a hardship. A lot of women, like, I was forced to have an abortion. I was told I had to have an abortion at 16, and I didn't have any other resources other than my mother, and she said, you have it or else. I didn't have a job. I didn't have a roof over my own head, and I was just my first pregnancy, And so, and when I went to the abortion clinic, it was other girls my age that were in similar circumstances. They wanted their baby, but they didn't know what to do.
Mm.
And the one person that they had for guidance told them to get rid of it. So it's a lot of education that needs to be surrounded by that. Other times women have abortions because, they're in relationships and they're thinking everything is good, and all of a sudden the man says, well, I'm married and I don't want the baby, or I no longer want to be with you and I'm taking the money and I'm leaving. And it's a lot of circumstances other than, oh, I'm just going to use abortion for birth control. That's usually the last source a woman wants to have an abortion for birth control. That's never usually the reason why they have an abortion. So I think a lot of the times we make these votes based upon our own, thoughts and beliefs, not the truth,
Right, right. So what was your upbringing? I was interested in what was your religious upbringing as a child, because a lot of the reasons women are stressed about these things, because you're a sinner and you're a bad person, and we have that stigma growing up that it's a bad thing. Or so what was your upbringing as a child as far as religious beliefs?
Okay. I grew up as Pentecostal. I was apostolic. My mother was the assistant to the pastor.
Oh, boy.
And Yeah, and my family, my cousin was the pastor of the church, and I grew up, and, you know, everyone around me was Christian, you know. I went to church on Mondays, on Wednesdays, on Friday nights, on Sunday morning, Sunday evening. I was always at church, and I was in the choir, I went to Sunday school, and I also was an usher. So church was my life.
Wow. Wow. So as you got older, did you stay in the church or some church, or did you start looking at other spiritual practices? What was your evolution in religion and spirituality?
Well, I started having dreams, and I started having beings come to me in my dreams and teaching me things. Like, even when I had an abortion, I had a dream that I had my baby. But the being came to me and showed me my baby in a trash can. Even though it wasn't my choice to have an abortion, it came and started talking to me. So I started having dreams, and my pastor couldn't explain to me, you know. And then I had to be quiet, because now I'm looked at as unusual or odd or strange, or, you know, kind of, am I trying to shake something up, you know, causing a problem because I'm asking questions that's not really geared towards the Bible and Christianity. It's outside of those things. So that's really what woke me up. I started having dreams, and I started understanding things kind of like an awakening. You know, I start understanding things more than I ever had before spiritually. Like, I always say, you know, we go to church and we taught that we have a soul, but we're not taught how the soul works. We're taught that we're supposed to believe in God, but we're not taught how God works and how actually God wants us to work, do most of the things that we pray to God for. He wants us to do it ourselves. And we have to understand the power that is given to us, and that we don't really need to ask anyone for anything. We have all that power. So I started to learn that, understand that, and I realized that Christianity was a school of thought, and it was a training for the next step in our spirituality. And so that's why I moved forward.
That is so well said, sister, that it was a training for our spirituality. Why do so many people get stuck there, though? You know, that's what was frustrating for me, is that I'm moving along and saying, yeah, I went to kindergarten. I went to Sunday school. I started out in the Methodist church, and then I got to the Baptist church, then a Pentecostal church, and then I never went to Catholic, and then Hebrew Israelite. I feel like I moved really fast through all these denominations. Like, yeah, stepping stone for spirituality. Let's get there quick and fast. But why do you think so many people get stuck in that and have a hard time, at least in the past? I think it's changing more and more lately. But more and more people get stuck in Sunday school. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, Christianity is good about using fear as a stronghold. Okay?
Yeah.
If you do this, if you behave like this, you're going to hell. If you do this, you don't fall, you're going to be demonic. You go, the demons are demonic and fear. And also, you know, like, my mother's mother was a Baptist, and so a lot of times you get told, if your mother's a Baptist, you need to be a Baptist. And, you know, my family is from the South. A lot of Southern ways is, you know, you do what mama and daddy did. You know, if mama and daddy did this, and you do that too. And then you teach your children to do what you do. And the South really is not into evolution. They don't really like it, you know? They really don't like evolving. They think it's demonic, you know? But say, lack of better words. And, you know, because I was born in Texas. I was born in Corpus Christi, Texas. So it's really deep down Texas. And the thing is Corpus Christi is still the same way. It's very old-fashioned way of thinking, and they like it that way because it's traditional. And I think that's a lot that has to do with why people don't understand that it's time to grow up. You know, also, no one's really learning the right type of spiritual knowledge. Like, we are in a different age. Nobody's taught time the right way, aging the right way, aging as in the age process of humankind. We're in the Aquarius age. we were in the Pisces age, a lot of times that people don't understand. That's why the fish is used in the Christian book. So the fish represents Pisces. It represents air. The Pisces age, building up society. That's why we had the industrial age during that time. And, you know, we had to grow as a civilization and to build buildings and to breed and write. And that was all done during the industrial age. That's why even though it's like the education-wise, there's a lot of dyslexic children that fell in the public school system because the school system was made for reading and writing. But before the industrial system, the children that were dyslexic, they were the artists and they were the painters. And so they thrive. So each age is calling for a different type of education, and it's time to educate ourselves spiritually. Now it's time to learn how the soul works, how to evolve the soul more than just going to a church building and praying to a God we can't see. So it's hard to detach. People have a hard time changing and detaching from one way of thinking.
Yeah, I absolutely change. That word change is very uncomfortable. And it especially comfortable, I think, when you have a social group in the church that you depend on. And, you know, going to Sunday, you're going to see all your friends, all those people, mm-hmm. and the same old pastor and the deacons and all that.
Right.
And that's very comfortable. And I can't blame people for wanting that support in many ways. You know, the church has been a big support for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It wasn't so, I don't know about during COVID, but at least in the past, the church has been a support for a lot of elders and seniors and maybe young people too. So, but now we have this distraction. I want to call it a distraction. That somebody leaked some information that Roe v. Wade was going to be wiped out or discontinued. And it's not even, the rumors aren't even true fully. But I think it was a political move to distract us from the mission that we're on to be sovereign, to take back our power, and to come out of fear. Because I don't know about you, but a lot of women are fearful that they may not have the choice to end this growth of a child inside of them if Roe v. Wade is knocked down. What do you think a lot of women are feeling when they hear that, oh, my goodness, I won't be able to have an abortion?
Fearful. I think some women don't care if it happens to them. And then I think a lot of women who understand, like, for example, my mother, she understands because she also was alive during a time where you couldn't have abortion. A lot of her friends killed themselves. So I see fear from a lot of women, uncertainty. Some women are happy with it. It's a lot of different emotions because nobody understands how it impacts women. You know, some women get pregnant on accident because, you know, the man lies, oh, I had a condom on and they took it off. So it makes some women not want to have sex. And it's just a lot of uncertainty. And because if they take that away, what else can they take away? And that's big. That's really big. What comes to my mind is this, and I'm in Texas where they pretty much took it away. It's like you have 6 weeks to know that you're pregnant, and if after the 6 weeks, if you don't know, then you have to have a baby. But it's also a state that doesn't like giving welfare, and it doesn't like giving food stamps, and if they mistreat people who are using the public system as a way of getting financial stability. So it's kind of like it's hypocrisy, you know? I feel like I'm being scammed because if I get pregnant, and if I don't have any money to take care of my child, you don't want to help me, but you want me to have a baby. So then what are you doing to a population and to a society of people? And then you don't want to give money to the children, especially, you know, children who are underprivileged. You know, nobody wants to help them. Where are you? We're the same voters when those children are hungry or don't have a place to live, you know? and things of that nature. I mean, there's a long waiting list for Section 8. So where do those children go? How many shelters are available for the mother and a child when she has no one? That's what I think about as a doula, as a mother myself, with these people who are making these laws. So if you make a law like that, what are you compensating for this new population that's going to come? I also think about children who are unwanted. Some women don't want to be pregnant. They don't want to have a baby. And then you're going to make a woman have a child, and then she's going to hate that child. You know, there's been a lot of women who mistreat and abuse children because they don't want them. That's what I think about that. I think about children who are unwanted by their mother. And then what does that do to society? What type of person are we creating in society?
Wow, that covers a lot of emotional consequences of even the thought of taking abortion away. That's a pretty thorough list of emotions that women go through, circumstances that women find themselves in. So tonight our discussion, I wanted to be around solutions for one. If Roe v. Wade were to go away, how can we as individuals create? And that's what we're powerful creators. And I think the last 2 years we've had too many entities, too many elites, too many egomaniacs saying that you're powerless and you can't take care of yourself, you can't overcome a little virus. Yeah, you can't. Instead of you can do anything, you're powerful, you're creative. I think if we can get into that type of mindset individually first, because whatever we do, I just took a Qigong class yesterday for 5 hours. It was a webinar given by a guy on YouTube and this Qigong expert by the name of Chandler. He was so amazing. Okay. And if I thought if we eat, and what he was talking about was each of us has the power to create hologram-like realities. When we use this energy inside of us to put forth positive energy and to stir up the positive energy that's inside of us from the chi and the prana and all that. So that's what we want to talk about tonight, and especially with your knowledge about soul babies, how we can help women no matter what their decisions, no matter what their choices. There's a rainbow on the other side of this choice, but it's up to you to become a victor versus I'm a victim. And I should be ashamed of myself, as the church would like to say, or, you know, I may have told a lie or whatever. But we're going to go. I see my executive producer is ready with commercials. So thank you, Leslie, for your very interesting insight and accurate insight on how women feel about this subject. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the demonstrations. And throughout the country, that women are going through a range of emotions just at the thought of it. We haven't even seen any action yet. And just the thought of it, throwing it out there that it's a possibility. Oh, my goodness, we got to have some more Qigong minds out there that tap into this powerful being that we are, so that no matter what happens with this psychopathic government, or the courts, that we individuals who are conscious can bring forth our knowledge. And we want to, after the break, we want you to share with us how you became so knowledgeable about soul babies, because I think that's so powerful. Naima Latif, we're ready for commercial.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call, because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato. Hour. We're here with Leslie Heard, godmother, doula, however we pronounce that. Leslie is a special doula, though. She has a very profound knowledge of soul babies, and she works with bereavement. So tell us, what are soul babies, and why do we need to know about soul babies?
Well, that's a good question, because if we all could connect to our souls, as women especially, there would be no need for birth control or even for abortion, because we'll know when we have a soul on our aura. And so what soul babies are, they're just our children, our ancestors who come down from what we know as heaven, but it's the astral world where they sit and wait to be born or come into the physical world. They come to the mother first. And that's what soul babies are. They're pretty much our ancestors saying, okay, I picked this woman to be my mother in this life, and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for her to give birth to me. And that's done based upon a time, based on a time that the contract in the astral was created by you and that baby. Will the soul from the baby come to the mother first, even before conception? So the soul comes to the mother before conception. Now, not everyone has the same story, but it's always different. Like, some soul babies are from the father's side of the family, but most are from the mother's side of the family. And they come depending on what the family needs are and what the mother's needs are. So a lot of people in my family, they always come after someone passes away. Like when my grandfather died, I got pregnant with my son. My aunt died, my cousin got pregnant with my cousin. My female, because she's 2 years old now. My aunt died 3 years ago, and now we have a 2-year-old after my aunt passed. So they come. But I think the best way is to be in tune with your body and to be in tune with your soul, so we can say, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have sex with this person because this is not the right fit for me,
because I have a soul on my aura.
Ooh.
When a woman knows she has a soul on her aura, the probability of her getting pregnant is extremely high. So that's when you make the choices. Like, maybe I need to wait for, like, as of now. I've had a soul on my aura for the last 4 years. And I know who the father is, but I have not physically been with him yet. And because of that, I cannot be with anyone else, because it's actually more of a twin flame soul journey that I have to have with him. So that means I haven't had sex in 4 years because I have a soul baby in my aura. When you're more in tune with what's going on with your body and the souls that you carry, then you can say, you know what? I can't be fearless. I can't just go out there because I want to have sex. I have to really think about the things that I'm doing because I have a soul on my aura. And if I want the right person to be the father, I have to be with the right person.
Now, that is very, very interesting. Now, how did you begin to know and recognize that you had a soul in your aura? What was your first signs or circumstances or feelings where you started thinking, was it when someone died that you started feeling this? Or when did you first start recognizing this gift? Because it seems like it's a gift that all of us should have, or those who want to have, who bring children into the world.
To be honest, when it first started happening, connected to my soul babies, is when I had an abortion, and a baby connected to me. She told me that I had hurt her, you know, and that's when that dream, actually, I wrote about that dream in my book. And that's when I first started. That was like my first connection to my soul baby. But this particular soul baby that I have on my aura now, because I've had altogether, I have 5 children and I have 3 living. But this particular one I'm talking about, it's a boy. And he has come to me in my dreams. He has shown me his power. And he also has shown me his father. And I met his father. I met the father of this particular baby before I met him. I know him now, but he showed me who he was through a dream. So, and that's why, you know, I feel like the powers that are working with the Roe versus Wade trying to be taken away is, it may not happen, but it's created for it to be shocking because we're going to a different age. We're going to an age where different beings are coming in from long periods ago, and because these times are calling for a different type of human, a different type of mindset. And these souls are coming in now to help build the new age of Aquarius. So when we're already in an era where we're kind of self-centered, or I should say, or more like, you know, kind of
narcissistic. How about ego? Egos and
narcissistic. Is one word of saying it, but you know, very individualistic. That's the word I was thinking of. Very individualistic, and where it's me. What can I do for me? And the new beings are saying, hey, we need to come into the world. You know, and a lot of us are thinking, well, hey, you know, I need this house, I need this, I need that, but this baby needs to come through. And so right now, I think women need to stop and think, you know, about the people that they're sleeping with and things of that nature. Because you always have to look at everything as a plus and minus, as a positive and negative, the pros and cons of everything and the reason why things are happening. Because at the end of the day, we are human beings, but there are beings that are over us, okay? And they really control the way society moves. And I see this as being a shock because we're going to a different era that's causing the new beings to come in. Like the beings that are coming in, I'm seeing more people that are going to help move society in a special light, more spirituality, more than just materialistic.
Hallelujah.
We're pushed, you know.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Right, right.
you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, we need that desperately. We need that. And Naima Latif says, what do you think the effect would be if we taught this to boys and girls before they reach puberty? Absolutely. What do you think? I mean, to me, it's how do we develop a program to teach this to girls and boys at a very young age?
Well, first, even before we teach them about sex, we have to teach them about their soul.
Yeah,
so it won't be so shocking.
Yeah.
We teach them how to work with their soul and how to develop their soul.
Yeah.
So by the time they hit puberty, it wouldn't be so shocking. It'd be like, okay, and just add it all to the building blocks, the Legos.
Yeah.
You know, we first have to teach them about their soul, about healing, about growing and learning. Yeah.
That is definitely the new paradigm is to every young child. I mean, my grandchildren will be 6 and 8 next month, and I think they're ready for that type of teaching because the elementary schools are throwing so much at all these other topics, LGBTQ and all that at them.
Right.
So let us, as conscious mothers, fathers, grandmothers, give them some knowledge about souls and spirituality and what you're talking about. So we've got a caller. It says, grand evening, sisters, thanks for teaching. Yes, soul development is crucial. They are definitely ready. Yeah, these new beings, souls are ready for this type of teaching. So let me go to the call phone. I see, I think Brother Kwame Sunhorse, your mic is open.
Grand rising, Sister Viata, and good evening, Sister Lisa. Leslie.
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I commend you, and it's through the divine feminine that we are going to be saving ourselves. These are part of the prophecies that has been given us. But also, in the knowing, when you were talking about, I think Viata saying, is that there are rites of passage. There are ceremonies in which we have to understand how to begin to do and help the purpose of that person that comes through that womb. Because when that person is conceived in that womb, when you're talking about your soul child that now, you know that it's the energy that was already there, which was planted in you when you were in your mother's womb. Because all of these generations are conception, and then that person that is growing already is getting the people that is to come from them while they're in the womb. And the process of being able to have that connection to the mother in the nurturing and the father in the nurturing, but it also has to have the connection of the spiritual ecology of connecting back to Mother Earth, or what we call Ina Maka, being able to, and you're sharing too and saying that we're moving into the time of the era of Aquarius, which is the water bearer, but the opposite of Aquarius is Leo. Our counter is Leo. Like I'm a Pisces, my opposite is Virgo, water and earth.
Did you have a comment on that, Lisa? Leslie?
No, he's absolutely right. Right.
Okay.
Did you have a question?
That's what I'm leading to the question. And when you were saying about Aquarius and Leo, it's learning to empower oneself. That's what L-E-O spent. How are you seeing this empowerment now that you understand the soul connection that came with you when you came onto this planet to be that which you're bringing forth?
So his question is, how am I seeing the empowerment?
Yes. With what all
right.
that you
how do you see that empowerment? Because women are the nurturers, the caregivers. This is the teachings that comes through the mother. It's called mother wit, not father wit. And so you being the progenitor and the creator of life, what do you see are the tools to bring and inducerate, not to put in, educate, no, to bring out, because you're saying you're bringing out that soul that's already there in you.
Okay. Soul into the world as a mother.
Yeah.
Well, you know, okay, well, you know what? This is a good question. Now, I'm 41, and I started having children very early in my life, and I am not the same person or woman I was at 19 that I am today. So every time I have a child, it's always different, and I am older and more mature and more experienced with each child. But I have to say, as a mother, it has empowered me with everything I've known now, is that when I bring a soul into this world, it's not just for play. It's not just, you know, for to say I had a child and add to the family. It's actually to help to empower the world. I'm putting a piece, and so that is really important to me. And so I choose, and make it's important to me to choose when, in the right timing, to have a child. And when I do have a child, like say if I do have my last child, my son is a Gemini. He was born in June, and so if I do have a Gemini, and also his name is important. To name, give him a name that is going to represent who he is and who he can be. And also, how are they going to impact the society, and what am I going to teach them? So those are all the things that I think about when I give birth or even when I'm pregnant. So I see it as very important as being a woman. And being a mother, it's empowering, and also at the same time, it's a lot of things to think about and work as far as it's a way of saying, you know, I have to help the world grow and evolve, and it's part of my job and my duty to help society grow.
Wow. And so bringing these souls through your womb, you're very conscious about the purpose of this soul coming in at a certain time, having a certain name. Is that what I hear you saying? The timing of it, the name. And then how about the father's support? How important is that for you to have the father's same consciousness with the father?
Extremely important. Yeah. And I'll use myself as an example. My first three living children are by my ex-husband, who I was with since I was 18 years old.
Mm.
And that was important, not just the father with financial reasons, but spiritual reasons. Also genetically, my ex-husband, it was Jamaican. And the father of my soon-to-be child is Jamaican as well, but learning my spiritual DNA, that's the only man that I can really be with, and I'm not Jamaican, but because of the souls that I have to bring into this world, they have to have that aspect in them, because also it goes into esoteric science, and it goes also to where Jamaican land is. It's over a pyramid, and those souls of that time, they are around that area. And then it goes into my genetics. I'm also Cuban. I'm Afro-Latina. And my Cuban side is right next to those pyramids in my ancestors, right by Jamaica. So it's deeper than just, you know, hey, you know, this person looks good and I'm attracted to them and their financial stability is good. But it also goes into genetics and spiritual genetics. So it's very important. Those things play a big part. Also, like my son, his name is Nkosi Bomani Haru. That means king, warrior, god of light. And so he is very smart. He likes to teach. He's also good at martial arts, but he's also kind and loving, and he likes to protect. So, and he's also a Gemini. So Geminis, not only are they, they're kind of like Leos, but in a different way. They like to teach and they like to have a crowd to talk to and that will listen to them. So they're kind of extroverted. And it's giving the way to teach them the right thing. So he, when he is teaching a crowd of people, he is also enlightening the children. He's not just talking, he's teaching. So those are the things that I think about. But I'm also, you know, what I teach is important because I also know that my calling is different. And so it's a little bit, it seems extremely left, but this is what I've been taught from the elders and also my spiritual guides as well, that it's important to do these things as we build up a society. That's why I talked about going from the Pisces era, which is industrial, to the Aquarius era, which is really well spirituality, building up our chakras, building up our knowledge with the guides and understanding our soul purpose as spiritual human beings. So that's extremely important.
Now, are you homeschooling your children?
I'm not homeschooling.
So how do you balance that? How do you balance them being in a public school environment and teaching what you just shared with us, which is very advanced spiritual teaching about soul? So do you have a program at home that balances out what they're learning in public school?
No, I just teach them what I do. I show them what I do. I talk about it. They ask questions, and if they gravitate towards it, then I teach them. If they don't want to be bothered with it, then I don't push. I don't push it on them. But my son, who was born in 2012, he actually came here with that knowledge, so he accepts it more than any of my children.
Really?
He accepts it more, and he talks about it. He actually... It's not hard teaching him because, I agree. And then he'll tell me something. He'll start teaching me about something that I thought about, but he's more enlightened than me. So that's why I know from experience that these new souls that are coming in, they are here for the new purpose and the new order of our civilization.
Now, I have another caller. Our executive producer has a question, but before I open her mic, I want to ask you, some of the people I talk to don't believe or don't understand why a soul would want to come into a family that's dysfunctional, let's say. And especially if they have been a part of a family that was abusive and they have had many traumas in that family, how do you explain to them or share to them some of the lessons they may have needed to learn in that type of family? Because I agree with you that we choose our parents and we choose our families, but some people have a hard time of believing that when they've come into a very dysfunctional family. How do you explain or bring peace to that?
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Because it's so many, everyone is different. And, you know, I noticed by coming out of Christianity, people want to have like a one answer to their, you know, if it happened to Susie, then it's like, if that's Susie's answer, then that's Bob's answer, that's Michael's answer, that's Shay's answer.
Yeah.
And that's not how it works with spirituality.
Yeah.
That's Susie's answer.
Right.
That's not your answer. But Susie may have come into a dysfunctional family because they asked her for help, and she was the leader of the family, and she is the matriarch, and she's the light of the family. And then Michael may have come to that family because he has to deal with some karma, and he has some things that he did in his past life, and he has to deal with that because he has, you know, 2,000 years of karma that he has to work off. So, you know, it's different. I can't give a one answer for all. That's not how it works. You know, everybody has a different path and different roles. I do readings for women all the time, and they think that because I gave one reading about a soul baby and what the soul baby wanted, for example, one soul baby told me that he didn't care who his mother chose as a father because she made bad choices with picking men. Anyway, he just needed to get here. He needed to be here.
Wow.
Okay? And then I have another soul baby tell me that he would wait until she chose the right person.
Wow.
So it doesn't work. It's not a one-shot, you know, one case fits all. It's just not that way. It's too many of us for it to be that way.
And here's another here's another little piece of that. We are multidimensional beings. So
right.
I'm 100% in agreement with that answer, Leslie, is that that's why meditation is important. That's why being out in nature is important. I was out in nature with these ducks and a friend, and we were looking at these ducks, and we're like, what are these ducks doing? Why are they? And we just had a great time watching ducks, and that was just a very peaceful, meditative time listening to messages from animals. And then I looked it up in my Animal Speak book, and the ducks had something to say to me and that person.
Yeah, that's
so,
what I'm going to say.
That's why it's so important, as what we're sharing tonight is so important for us to take in, absorb, and meditate on and begin to practice and live it out. If you want to get the answers to the questions we're asking about, why am I here? Why did I have to be traumatized in my youth? Why did I have to be raped? Blah, 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 blah. I've been listening to Naomi Judd interviews and testimony. Oh my goodness, the woman, I got to read her book now because she had such a divine purpose to do what she did, but she had a horrible childhood. And yet her ending to put a gun to your head, so dramatic and so such a powerful message about depression and anxiety, but that was just one soul. And so there's so much, I feel like there's so much we can learn from someone like her, who had such a dramatic, yet if we believe she chose her parents, whoa, let's learn the lesson. Let's just learn to sit down and take a Naomi Judd class and learn some of the lessons of one soul. That's all it is.
Well, here's the thing about the thing with choosing parents. We are always going to be around the same people all the time, whether they're going to be our mothers, our daughters, our sisters and brothers, ancestors, kind of roll in the same little pack, even in the astral, in the what we call heaven. I don't know why I'm going
the astral. You're going to say astral?
Yeah, thank you. The astral world. So when we go to the astral world, we are kind of in the same kind of groups. So today your mom may be one person, and tomorrow or the next life, I should say, the next life, your mom is now your daughter or your sister. And so it works in that way unless you evolve in each life. And that is really your sole purpose, is to evolve. And what happens is we don't evolve. And that's why I teach women who have had abortions or traumatic losses in their pregnancies to cleanse themselves from that energy, that karmatic energy, because if you don't, then you keep that in the next life and you don't evolve. The goal of each life is to evolve from your past karmas. And so whatever you're experiencing in this life, you have to fix it and you have to go through it. Let's get over the complaining and go toward the solution. And the solution is to cleanse and to evolve.
All right now.
Perfect.
Okay, we're going to open the mic for Naima Latif, our executive producer. She has a question. So, Naima, your mic is open.
Yeah, well, I know we got to take a break, so I'll run the commercials and then I'll come back and with my question. So, your guest can answer. So, we'll be right back after this break.
All right, thank you.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Cell Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Executive producer Naima Latif has a question
Yes, well, I guess it's kind of along the lines of what you asked earlier, Beata. You know, when it comes to teaching these things that we know and then coming up against the accepted cultural norms, I am very much aware of our multiple lives and the fact that we make decisions on who our parents are going to be pre-birth. And there are a lot of things that happen in the soul realm that we forget once we come into the physical realm. But we have a very resistant culture that almost will not allow available knowledge to be taught, which would solve a lot of problems. Now, I know that even most children will remember these things until they reach the age where they start communicating verbally. But even before then, they're still kind of connected to the physical realm, the spirit realm. As a matter of fact, I remember my daughter, when I think she was maybe about 18 months to 24 months. No, she was under 2 years old. You know, and I one day I hugged her and I said, "Oh, I loved you since the day you were born." And she looked at me and she said, "I love you since before I was born, and I watched you from the sky." So I'm going, okay, I know this 18-month-old child didn't make that up, because you can't make up something like that. That's a memory, a pre-birth memory. So I know that she consciously chose me as her mother and consciously chose her father and all that because of the life mission that she has. And then some years before my daughter by marriage got pregnant, I was, praying for because my other sister was praying for a child. She had just gotten married. And so I was praying, that our family would be increased by the birth of children. And I got the revelation that my husband's daughter from his previous marriage, and she was going to have a child, and that then the purpose of that child was to help bring our family together. So, I mean, and no one even, she and I hadn't even been speaking, so I didn't even know, I didn't know if she was seeing anybody, I didn't know anything about her life, but I was told that. So that was like something already in the works. And then when my sister's child, when her daughter got pregnant, you know, and, you know, she's a very artistic, creative kind of person, but she hadn't really been really serious about life. So when she came to visit the house one day, I just kind of put my hand on her stomach, and I think she was about 7 months. And I communicated telepathically with the child inside of her, and I asked, why are you here? And the child told me, I came here to help her. And the whole thing was that his purpose was to help her get serious about life, help motivate her, which he did. She did a total turnaround in her life, very health conscious, very serious about her education and all of that. So, you know, I know that there's a realm that exist before birth, and that we are eternal, and that we have all of these plans that we make. So nobody's life is by accident. And, you know, we even have different, if, you know, okay, if something happens and there's a miscarriage or whatever, sometimes the child may have changed their mind and say, well, maybe I'm not ready to come yet. Or if the mother has an abortion, then the child says, okay, well, I have to come later when they're emotionally ready for me to come, but I'm planning to come through that person. So, I mean, all these things are realities, but how do we get past the resistance of people who will not listen to information that's readily available, will not listen to the testimonies of people who know that this is a reality, and even sometimes our religions that won't allow us to think beyond the dogma of, you know, you're born once, you die, and you either go to heaven or hell, and that's it. You know, how do we get past that? And is there a way to develop a teaching that supersedes what the, I guess, the accepted religious and educational structures have allowed to be taught to children about their lives?
Okay, Leslie, you got that?
Right. Muted. What we talked about before is really just teaching the children how to develop their soul. It's up to us who believe that, who know that to be true about souls coming in from a different realm. And we have to teach our children, our daughters, our sons, our grandchildren about that life, because that's the only way it's going to work. Because there is also the programming to keep it hush so we don't grow as you know, the thing is that Earth is a lower world, and it can go higher if we evolve spiritually. And that's the goal of the Aquarian Age, is to evolve spiritually. We have to really help our children, and that's the purpose of these new souls that are coming in. They're here to help the Earth evolve, or the human mind to evolve. If the human mind evolves, believe it or not, we shift the planet. We can shift the planet with our mind, and it will stop being a lower realm, and it won't be so much of a hell to us. And you know what else changes with that? What changes is coming to the planet and have to work off karma. Say, oh, I chose this period, and I'm going through a life of struggle and hell, and that changes. Also, we have to learn different prayers. Different prayers also helps change the mind. Because you have to remember, we are a program. If we, there's ways to break into the program to help us evolve. And there's certain prayers and spells that we can use to help change the mind. So
now
that's really the way we.
And I understand you do rituals. I had a question from Beth. I think you know Beth. But she had a question about, can you explain about your rituals, your water rituals, I think, that you do?
Okay. So when you do have your soul babies from an abortion or a traumatic miscarriage, so you're carrying karma, so you want to cleanse that off your soul. And the way to do it is during a ritual, during a full moon. And so what it is that you have to write a contract. You rewrite the contract, because once you have an abortion
or a traumatic miscarriage, your contract has been broken. So you have to rewrite that contract, and then you have to use a certain type of a spell to help release that soul off the aura, because babies stay connected to their mothers for life. Even if you have a child and the child lives, all your children are still always stay connected to the mother, no matter what. you're always, I'm connected to my mother for life, and my children are connected to me for life. So that's why it's really hard for soul babies to be removed off the aura. And that's something that even if you don't remove it off the aura, in the next life, some of them stay on. And that's karmatic energy. And then that's also another reason why people come into this world in lower phases of a human experience, like having financial difficulties, even living in poverty, because they didn't cleanse in their last life. So it's important to cleanse in this life so that you won't have those problems and karmatic experiences. So I teach the ritual. The ritual is also in my book, Soul Babies, The Spiritual Side of Abortions and Miscarriages, which is on an ebook. It's on Amazon as well. So
say that name again.
Soul Babies, The Spiritual Side of Abortions and Miscarriages.
Okay. Okay, we've got another. Go ahead. Do you have another comment?
Oh, it's an ebook now, because the book actually sold out the hard copy.
Okay.
So you can get it on Kindle.
That's great, because I'm a minimalist. And I don't buy books, hardcover books anymore, because I don't have space for them anymore. So that's great. I'm glad that, I guess, since they sold out, you decided to go ebook, or was there any?
Ebook.
Yeah, planning to do that.
A lot of people ask for an ebook because they like to read off their phone. So I just put it on that platform.
Well, you know, that you could also do audio. Maybe, have you thought about audio?
Actually, I haven't. Not for that particular book, no.
I actually saw a YouTube video where you can make money doing audios for authors, and I'm going to look into that, because when I saw that,
okay,
they pay you $40 to $100 an hour. You have to interview for your voice, and you have to do a sample voice reading. And I read the whole website, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I got to look into this. So if you have the right voice, I will. If you have the right voice, and I thought that's a great idea, because more and more people want audio books. I love listening to audios while I'm driving, and it just helps you make good use of your time. Anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. I'll get that information. When I find that YouTube again, I'll send it to you. Okay. We've got to go to 336-350. Mama AZ, your mic is open.
Grand Risings. Family, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you so much. Today adds up to a 6 energy, family. Leslie, you are so on point. Greetings, Brother Kwame. Dr. V, I don't know how you do what you do, but you're the bomb. Leslie, I want to share this with you. Years ago in North Carolina, and Dr. V, I'm going to send you that fire. It was a fire, a sacred fire, similar to the fire that was up at the cabin. I was having a sacred fire after I got the medicine wheel clean. And my niece had been sending me pictures of the ultrasound of the baby. She had twins. And they were giving her all kinds of havoc. She was always sick. And so this particular fire that I was at up at the cabin at Arts on Arts Land, I asked them, I said, babies, why do you give your mom so much grief? I mean, meaning, why are you giving her sickness all the time? And you know, it was a guy and a girl. And the male, my nephew, said to me, Aunt Robbie, we're 7 months, and we are leaving. We cannot stay because this family is toxic. We are special beings, and we came here to do a particular job. But since then, we have found that we cannot hang. We cannot stay. And Leslie, I'm not bullshit. Oh, I mean, let me tell you, much of what you said, even being dyslexic, in which I have that issue, dyslexic people are artists. You hit on that. And I'm like, whoa, buddy. But getting back to my niece and nephew, my nephew was a spokesman, and he said, this family has a lot to learn. And what we come to teach, they don't even listen to you. And I'm like, what? Am I hearing this at a sacred fire? And you confirmed it. I get chill bumps telling you this. And then when I got back to High Point, North Carolina, my nurse was braiding my hair, and my sister Maddie called me and said, Robbie, I just thought you needed to know that the twins, they left. And I said, I know, they told me. And she cursed me out and hung the phone up. So it's something to this. We must, family, learn that these special ones come to us for particular purposes. And we got to re-educate how we do things, because many of, even with getting abortions, I believe that those ones that set up the abortions, they set it up because they can't hang in that particular environment. That's just my opinion, okay? My opinion, people, family, whatever, okay? Don't cuss me out. I'm sharing my beliefs, because we all have a contract. And just like Leslie said, we and even Dolores Cannon, I just heard a thing with her just the other day. We come to soul families, and we kind of want to stick together to work out our BS issues. Thank us. Thank us.
Your comment, Leslie?
I mean, she's absolutely right. But once again, you know, everyone has a different story. You know, we have to remember that everyone has a different path. And so we can't just collectively say, you know, all babies choose this way because of this. But those babies, they came to you. That was an important experience. That was an experience to learn. They came here to do exactly what they did. It was a teaching experience, not only for you, but for the mother and the father, you know, and actually the whole family, you know. Our ancestors come, but sometimes if the environment is toxic, they will leave. You know, they'll choose a different family, or they just will choose not to come at all, and they'll stay in the astral realm, you know. So, yes, I agree. But also with abortions, a lot of times, it's a lot of children that are born to families that are not ready for them. That happens as well. It's just a whole collective of things that happen, and I can't say one reason is all the reasons. So that's why I do readings. I give people readings because no one has the same story. Yeah. But
I agree.
Unless it's a beautiful experience that you guys had to learn something so significant to change. And that's what they came for, to help heal the family and to help you recognize that there needs to be a strong change in our unit.
I agree.
I agree. I agree, sister. No, ma'am. I agree. I'm just so grateful that my mother chose to let me come through her gate. And I say this all the time. Otherwise, I wouldn't be reaping the benefits of all of you. And that helps my journey in certain times to be a little bit easier. Thank us, Dr. V. Thank us.
You know,
Mama AV
and I share the same womb story, that both our mothers wanted to abort us. My mother told me before she passed that she wanted to abort me because my dad had an affair with a woman, and it was in Jet Magazine. I don't know if you know what Jet Magazine is, but
yeah.
Because it was back in, before I was even conceived, even, probably 1953, 54, I think, he was playing with the NFL, and one of the few black players on the team, and evidently this woman was interviewed by Jet. She was a model, and she told Jet as soon as my dad was divorced, she would be the next Mrs. Howard, and for it would be his wife. My mother read that in the Jet magazine, and I didn't find that out till I was writing my dad's book, because I was researching in Jet for stories about him. And that's why she wanted to abort me, because when he retired from football, she was kind of brokenhearted about that.
Yes.
And she was not ready to have another child. But they got together. I was conceived, and she wanted to abort me. But I call Mama A's experience a divine override. And do you ever talk to women who have expressed it, that their mothers wanted to abort them, but they were born anyway?
Well, Dr. V, my mother didn't want to abort me. You know, she wanted me. There was a male that came before me. That's how my name came to Robert, so they thought. But
okay.
She just drank herself to death. But, you know, but I overrode that too.
Right, right. So what's been your experience with women who have knowledge of that type of choice or mental activity by their mothers?
Well, usually they have hard times with their mother. They have hard relationships. The relationship is always shaky and rocky or non-existent, you know, in those cases, and they become mothers, a lot of them, and as a mother, they're either overbearing with their children, or they need to learn how to develop a good relationship, because it's very hurtful for a lot of them. And mental health is I'm also a mental health professional, but mental health is a big thing when it comes to giving birth to children, because of all those underlying issues that happen surrounding those questions.
Well, that's why Naomi Judd's story is fascinating to me, because I don't know if you know her, when she passed, her daughter said, our mother transitioned from mental illness. Well, mental illness was she shot herself in the head. And that was from generations of mental illness in her family, the sadness and the depression, mainly the depression that took over. And I think the drugs had something to do with it. You know, pharmaceutical companies love to prescribe antidepressants, and then that has the side effect of suicide. So,
Dr. V, mental illness.
Yeah.
I have another question for Leslie. You know, my oldest child and I, it's a major brick wall, a steel wall. And I, you know, my mother held a gun to my head and told me, if you don't abort her, I'm going to blow your effing brains out. And she was drinking. And I don't blame her for that. She did the best that she could with the knowledge. But I told her, I said, you might as well just blow my brains out, because I'm not going to abort this child. And in the interim of that, I tried to commit suicide. And my daughter, and I was three months with her, and my brother came home from school. I believe my daughter called her him from my womb, and they ended up rushing me to Memorial Hospital to pump my stomach. I almost left the building, and I'm wondering, does my child know this within her DNA, all of this that happened? And I mean, you know, does she know this? And this is why she resents me. I mean, no matter what happened, I would not go across the border and let anybody try to get rid of. And I'm grateful that I made that decision because of my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren and so on. And do you think she knows this is why she harbors such hate? Because she doesn't understand? I'm just asking you, Leslie.
Well, I would have to say yes, because, you know, when we are connected to our children during pregnancy, emotions are a strong part of development for the fetus. And we overlook that as a society, but emotions and spirituality and is what creates personality as well, not just only the sign, the zodiac sign, but emotions are created by how the mother is feeling. All three of my children that are living right now, they are a reflection of each of my pregnancies and my mental health state.
Mm.
And out of three of them, my middle daughter, Nadia, and she knows that I've talked to her about it. She has depression because that was the worst part of my marriage when I was pregnant with her. I was going through a really hard time in my marriage. Now, my oldest daughter, I had a miscarried her brothers before I had her. And so I was extremely excited when I was pregnant with her, and my whole family wanted her to be here, and we all were, and they all protected me. But my youngest son, my grandfather had passed away, and so we were extremely hurt. So when I got pregnant with him, we were extremely happy a baby was coming, and we just knew it was going to be a boy. So our emotions are also reflections of how the fetus is going to develop psychologically and emotionally in the womb. So, and also you have to remember the soul is watching, the soul baby is watching what's going on. That's how they're able to say, you know, this family is toxic, or I'm going to help my mother. So they see and hear things. They live in a different realm, you know, as they wait for us to come to those gates. So that's why healing, and it's so hard in the Black community. A lot of people don't believe in therapy, but it's so important to have therapeutic sessions as a whole family so we can have healing. We need that healing. You know, and some things are also biological. You know, sometimes we all have mental health issues, but some things, you know, we pass on genetically.
Are you saying that for a mom and daughter in like Mom AZ situation is to talk about it, for the mom to share with that child what she was going through? Is that effective in helping the child remove some of the negative emotions about the mother, do you think?
Yes, it is. It also depends on the person. Because we don't always deliver messages the same way. We have, you know, a good intention, but, you know, sometimes our emotions get in the way. I think you should go to a good therapist, not just any therapist they give you. Look for a therapist that specializes in even just, you know, your culture, your heritage. You know, I specialize in child loss. I'm a mental health professional. I specialize in child loss because I suffered from child loss. Okay? So try to go to someone that can be understanding for you and your child. not just anyone. But yeah, it's important to have those sessions.
Okay.
It's important for even my daughter, Nadia. You know, I feel, you know, some things you have to let the course go through too. Some things you may not be able to fix. And I'm saying that, you know, honestly, some things, it's part of the child's karma that came in at that particular time as well. So you could help her go through it or him go through it.
Okay, when we come back, Naima's going to play our last commercial. I want to just touch on the subject of violent sex that produces a baby, otherwise rape, because some women, I had an encounter with a woman at dinner, and she was in tears, and I believe it's because her child was the result of a rape, and there's still a lot of emotion around it. So let's talk about that, how we can heal some of that when we come back.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Now, Naima, your mic is open, ready with our last commercial.
And, Viata, you have a caller also, area code 207-717. When we come back, we want to take that call.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. And we'll be right back.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry. You are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
The Female Solution Studio. So, Naima, can you open their mic?
Okay. Area code 207-717. Your mic is open. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your question, please. Area code 207-717. Check your mute. Your mic is open. 207-717. Go right ahead. I hear, sounds like it. 207-717, are you with us?
Go right ahead. Your mic is open.
I was just listening. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, you're just listening? Oh, okay. You had pressed one. Okay. All right. No, no problem.
Muted.
Okay. So, Leslie, we've got a lot of women, or not a lot. I don't know the numbers, but I just had a personal experience with someone, and we brought up rape and the result of a child, and this woman just got very emotional. We had to pause and just be quiet. So how do we heal those relationships that are that happen because of a violent sexual encounter? And especially if the child is not aborted and the child is born. And what do you feel is the soul, spiritual purpose of that type of birth or relationship?
Oh, that's a good one, because one of my friends was the child of rape, and I grew up with her. And I think about that all the time. And she had a very difficult time with her mother. Sometimes it would be best friends, and sometimes they were worse with enemies, so she would run away from home. And what I noticed with that relationship is that it's a difficult, because sometimes the mother sees herself in that child, and then her mother sees the abuser. The mother sees, you know, trauma, depending on what's going on in that particular relationship. How do you heal with that? Well, it depends on the woman. Some women choose to have the baby and to develop that relationship and forgive. It's a very difficult traumatizing situation. And so if you do have that child, if you do choose to have that baby, I recommend therapy. I recommend self-healing, with trying to find peace in yourself and not blaming yourself. But it's a lifelong experience with connecting to soul. I would say those experiences happen, of course, because of karma, and finding why, cleansing. I would say a deep cleansing needs to happen, because situations like that usually happen because there's something in a past life where the mother committed an act, and she is learning from what she inflicted on someone else. In some cases, in a lot of cases.
Which is a hard reality. That's a hard reality for a lot of women to face.
Yeah, it's a hard reality.
Yeah. But I believe that, too, that there's my belief is that if you're struggling with anything in this life, it's probably due to something that happened in a past life, because that's the law of the universe. But do you run into those conversations with people who just can't accept that? I do a lot. And as Kwame left a note on my phone about the art of allowing, and when he didn't expand on that, but I think it's just about allowing people to believe what they want and stay in their suffering, because they can't go back to reincarnation and past life as a possible reason for their suffering this life.
So, you know what, this diverges from, you know, the abortion topic, but everyone has a traumatic experience, and the ones that are even more traumatizing, what happens is that it could be your last life here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually when it's your last life here on Earth, you're going to suffer a great deal of pain, because all that karma you created, and God let that slide in those lives, and you just did that. When you're ready and then God said, okay, it's time, if you want to go to a higher world, that everything you inflicted in the past life is going to be inflicted on you in this life. So if you can ride with it, then consider yourself lucky, because not everybody gets that chance. Some people just have to go through karma and go through 35,000 years of being on earth and don't get to the extent. If you're going through a certain amount of karma, then the gods have smiled on you in some form or fashion, and you get to extend into a higher world. So just accept your karma and go through it. Now, it's hard because I'm going through a karmatic experience. I couldn't teach it if I didn't experience it. And it's hard, and sometimes you want to throw in a towel, but, you know, there is always light at the end of the tunnel. And go to therapy. I encourage therapy because I'm a therapist. So, but I say that's if you find the right therapist, you know, if you find the right therapist, and that helps. But it happens. Rape is a horrific thing, and it's something that you can't heal from.
Well, what do you think about the conversation or communication to a woman who has been raped and she's going through the, and she does get pregnant? What is the type of support conversation that you can give her regarding why that happened to her? I believe, this is my personal belief, that men and women, human beings are not the main force of a baby being constructed in the womb. That this is a divine, force that is a soul, like you were talking about, a soul is wanting to come in the womb and become a human, an earthling or a human being. So is that, do you think that's a proper or compassionate way to communicate to a woman who's been raped that this, if you're pregnant from this rape, this violent act, it really is a divine result or consequences if a baby is formed because of that rape?
Well, I'm going to talk about something that a lot of people don't like to hear. But not everyone that comes to this world has a soul, and not everyone who comes to this world is an angel. Some demons come through here in that form of fashion just to have that type of energy. And they chose the mother. You know, the thing about demons is they like turmoil, they like destruction, and they like to feed off of low vibrational energy. So when you rape a woman, she feels violated, and the certain type of energy that she's producing, remember, it goes back to the energy that we have, we give the fetus, and that's the energy that they wanted to have, that particular soul. So it was coming here to do some type of damage to this world, or not to be a healer, but to be the exact opposite, it needs some type of turmoil to feed off of, some type of low vibrational to feed off of. And the mom's been raped, and she's pregnant now. It can feed off of that energy and come to do destruction like it tends to do, because about 50% of the world population has souls, 50%. The others don't.
Okay.
So not everyone's here to build.
Okay.
And you have to remember that. Yeah.
Well, and so that means we have to be very discerning about the energy that people are giving off to us, whether it's of a soul or a non-soul, as you're saying?
Right.
Yeah, some other type of entity. Okay, let me go to the phones because we only got about 13 minutes. 773-450, your mic is open. Welcome to Soul Purpose Healing. Hello, so 773.
I don't give all souls back. Not the six. So when I feel, so I mean, that's the way people lodge, that's where, but I don't give all.
Okay, I don't know what, I can't hear that person. So, okay, so that's a really important thought about a violent sexual act that produces a baby. Maybe a woman has a legitimate reason to abort that child, is what you're saying. Because if that energy that produced the child is not one of a soul or a positive human experience that once. So you're saying it's possible that an abortion is better than to care. So how does a woman know that, though? How can she really discern that this baby that is, or this pregnancy is one that is negative versus she'll know by
it's divine intuition.
Divine intuition.
And sometimes those babies have to be born too. Sometimes those souls have to be born. Demonic forces are important, just as important to this particular world as divine forces. And they're one of the same. And that gets deeper than I can. That would be a total different topic for this this radio show. It's a total different topic. But some souls that are demonic forces, they have to come into this world.
Why? Why would you say that? I know, but explain that, please. Are you saying we need to have these experiences of demonic entities on the planet?
It's a lower world. It's given. That's why, you know, it's something that, you know, it's odd to us, but this world is more than just what we see and what we understand. And that's why a lot of different things are happening right now. But the gods pretty much allow us to behave in any kind of way. Now, there are consequences for things that we do, but we are allowed because the gods consider Earth hell. And that's why a lot of the things that happen, you know, that we question, like, why is this allowed? How am I going through this experience? I'm a good person. I did this and that. But I'm going through hell pretty much because we are living in hell. And but like I said, that's a total different thing. You know, that's just one way of trying to understand why demonic forces are born. Children are born. Not everyone's an angel. Some are demons. Some children are demons, or they are born to be demons. Some beings are born in this world to take out lives, to kill, to commit mass murder, to, you know, be suicide bombers. That is governed. Some people are born to be serial murderers, rapists. That's just what it is on this planet.
Well,
not saying that everyone who has been raped, because I know some people whose mothers were raped, and they are phenomenal people. But I'm saying it's the mother's divine intuition will know what type of child she has. And not everyone's child has a soul. The more children you have, the probability of one of those children being soulless is very high.
Well, Naima Latif says, so do we explain to young people that a soul is matching the energy of the sex act so that they don't engage in loveless sex in order to not attract a lower vibration soul? Question mark?
That's a good question. I like that question. Yeah, that's something to think
about. But, you know, as we develop...
Well, you know, the thing about sex is not necessarily... to procreate. Sex is creative energy, but not necessary to have children. You can use sex for different reasons. But I think it's important to teach children how important they are as individual people and how giving their energy to anyone and what it does impacts their lives. I think it starts off like that. Unfortunately, young people are being pushed to have sex at an early age because of the music and what they see on TV. But I still honestly think it really needs to be a sexual, spiritual class on how to maneuver in a world that's full of sexual content and how to work out your, you know, hormones and how it impacts you as an individual. Because, you know, I'm saying as a teacher, I can only be honest, sex is not just about procreation. A lot of people have sex to receive creative energy from the other party. You know, that's why you hear about, you know, different artists, you know, having sex with other artists because they're trying to get creative energy so they can perform better or they can be better artists, or even, you know, create a song or more music or whatever it is they do. So we have to understand what sex is and what it's for.
Well, and when I talk about addiction, people use sex as a drug. And
exactly.
You're right. They don't want to make a baby. They just want to get an orgasm to make them feel, or just connect with individuals and rub body parts and feel better.
Right.
You know, I have to be honest. When my mother was an alcoholic most of my young life, then I became very promiscuous after the age of 17. And because sex was like a drug, you know, to get rid of the sadness that I experienced as a child with my mother. And I think it's common with most traumatic childhoods that people will look at sex as a relief from that emotion that they're so used to coming, they don't want to feel anymore. So, yeah, sex is a drug for most, I'd say more half the population or more probably using it as a drug, especially these days. Okay, Mama AZ, your hand was up. Did you have another comment or question? Mom, maybe check your mute button.
Okay, Dr. V?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Okay. Sister Leslie, you are so on point. My mother and I would have these conversations intuitively about demons and oh, my God. You are on point. A lot of people don't want to fess up to that or acknowledge that, and I recently, when my nephew and niece made their transition, that was the beginning of me being schooled from the other side of the veil. So you're on point, my sister. That's what I wanted to say. Thank us for your knowledges. Appreciate you. Peace.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. So, Leslie, we only got a few minutes left. Would you like to give any contact information before we do a little meditation? You okay, Leslie? See, her screen is frozen. I don't know what's going on. But we want to do a little meditation before we go. And I don't see Leslie's screen is frozen. So let's do a little meditation because this is a heavy, I realize this is a heavy topic. And some people may not agree or they struggle with this topic because it's deep. It's really deep. So let's do a earth my body, if I can, water my blood meditation to just bring us to a place of peace and agreement about this journey we're on, that we want to stay close to nature. Earth my body, water my blood is about staying close to nature. So let's just take a minute, and I don't want to forget tomorrow, be sure and tune in to Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda. I don't know where, I'm going to find her topic. I think she gave me her topic at one time. I don't see it on here. But Monday Morning Mindfulness, tomorrow morning with Zelda, I'll see if I can. But let's just do some breath, some breathing, a minute of breathing in and out to words of enlightenment, words of truth that remind us who we really are. This topic has been very deep and wide, and we all need to remember our soul journey more than anything else, that we are souls in a vessel having an earthly experience. And let's just take in the breath of life for a minute to remind us.
Earth my body, water my blood, air my breath and fire my spirit. Earth my body.
body, water my blood. Air my breath and fire my spirit. I like to sing to the earth. I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me. She likes to hold me. I like to sing to the earth, I like to hold her. She likes to sing to me, she likes to hold me. I carry fistfuls of leaves. I make love to the breeze. Carry fistfuls of bone. I trust they will lead me home. I carry grief on my wings. I know a caged bird sings. Through many turns of this moon, my women have suffered wounds, but my grandmother's with me. Close your eyes, can't you see? And my grandchildren are here, the rose, the crow, and the deer.
Thank you so much for joining me.
I am surrounded by light, the light of stories.
And divided over the topic.
I need to quiet my mind. I need to listen. We are surrounded by light, the light of stories. We need to quiet our minds. We need to listen.
Let's see.
Unmuted.
I'm going to play. I don't know if Anaim has started our farewell. Yes. Your mic's open, Anaim, if you want to play their, our farewell or thank you greeting ending. Anybody have a greeting?
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you, and the mercy of God, and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog